All right. Hey, everybody, I'm Mike, lead pastor here at Experience Church. I want to welcome each and every one of you. If it's your first time here, we're in week 5 of our series, Radioactive. And over the last 5 weeks, we've been talking about becoming radioactive, affecting the world and our surroundings as if we were a piece of enriched uranium or something like that, huh? You know, we've been talking a lot about values that Jesus has that if we see in our lives will affect those and the things around us, just like radioactivity. First week, we talked about acceptance and having radioactive acceptance in our life. And we looked at a couple of stories that Jesus told, one about a lost coin and a lost sheep. And Jesus was telling us how much people mean and how important they are. And what we take out of that is that we need to think people are important also, that we need to accept people in life just like Jesus did. Second week, we talked about love, and we looked at a story that Jesus told about a greedy farmer, and the point of it all was really, if you're concerned with only getting, you can never give in love, and really, true love gives, and so we want to become radioactive with love, a love that gives, just like Jesus did. Week 3, we talked about grace, and we looked at a story about a good Samaritan, a guy who stopped alongside of the road to help out an enemy, to do something for someone that he wished somebody would do for him. He looked at it and said, if I was hurt and dying, what would I want out of life? And then he showed this man grace and mercy in the same way that Jesus does to someone who probably didn't deserve it. And then last week we talked about forgiveness, and we looked at a story about a father whose son came up to him and said, Dad, I've had enough of hanging around here and the good life. I want you to give half of everything that's yours that I've got coming to me. Give me my inheritance, and I'm going to take off. And then the kid took off and blew it all on wine, women, and song, and then came back and expected his dad to take him back with open arms. And that's exactly what his father did. His father forgave him, just like Jesus forgives us. I'm excited to get going on the final value in our series, but before we get going, will you guys bow your heads and pray with me? Father God, I just thank you so much for your love, for your acceptance, for your grace, for your love and forgiveness. And God, I pray that our hearts would be open, that we would hear with our ears what it is you have for us, that we would receive, and that no one would leave this place today the same as they came in. I pray this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Have any of you ever lost hope? Have you ever felt like, man, nothing is ever going to change here? I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm not hopeful that this is going to change. And maybe you've been struggling at work and it's just not going anywhere. Or maybe your marriage is falling apart and you don't know how it could ever change for the better. Maybe you have a relationship with your kids and it's broken. Or maybe there is no relationship at all. Maybe as a child, you've tried to talk to your parents, but the more you try and talk to them, the more you think that they're sitting there going, ah, la, 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 just like they told you not to do. They never listen. Maybe you've tried to quit doing drugs or cutting or surfing porn or some other destructive habit in your life that always seems to get you right back to the same place where you started. Or maybe somebody in your life that you love is struggling and you're just so sick and tired of the promises of change and nothing ever happening, and you're losing hope. You're losing hope that anything's ever going to be different. Losing hope is one of the worst feelings in the entire world. And in fact, I would argue that losing hope is the worst emotion that we could have. Because when you've lost hope, there's nothing left to fight for. There's nothing left to strive for. There's nothing left to anticipate. There's nothing to dream. There's nothing left to look forward to. Sometimes you feel like there's nothing left to live for. Today we're going to take a look at a story that Jesus told about a farmer. A story that actually offers us a great deal of hope. Hope for us in our lives as we're living today, no matter what's going on in our life. Now throughout this series, we've been looking at stories that Jesus told that are found in the book of Luke. It's one of the first 4 books in the New Testament of your Bibles, the last third or so of your Bible. And if you're here this morning and you don't own a Bible of your own, you don't have a Bible at home, or the Bible you have at home is all smelly and musty and in some language that you don't understand, please grab one off the chair and take it home with you. We want you to have a Bible. If you have a smartphone, go to your app store and download the free Bible app from YouVersion, or go to YouVersion.com and download that. It's absolutely free. There's no ads or junk. It's just the Bible, and it really is quite amazing. I'm going to pick up this morning and set this up a little bit, talking about Jesus. He's traveling with 12 people that he calls disciples, or that others call disciples. And really what a disciple is somebody who is learning and following and being taught and becoming more like the teacher. And so these guys, he had handpicked to be with him, and he's walking around with them, and he's telling stories about God to the religious people of the day, and he's telling them in a way that they're not really picking up on or they're not real happy about. But there are many that are excited about the things that he's saying. And Jesus has gained quite a following. And so we're going to pick up this morning in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. And it goes like this. When a great crowd was gathered, people were coming to Jesus from every town. He told them this story. A farmer went out to plant his seed, and while he was planting, some seed fell by the road. People walked on the seed, and the birds ate it up. Some seed fell on rock, and when it began to grow, it died because it had no water. Some seed fell among thorny weeds, but the weeds grew up with it and choked out the good plants. And some seed fell on good ground and grew and made 100 times more. This is what the story means. The seed is God's message. The seed that fell beside the road is like people who hear God's teaching, but the devil comes and takes it away from them so they cannot believe it and be saved. The seed that fell on the rock is like those who hear God's teaching and accept it gladly, but they don't allow the teaching to go deep into their lives. They believe it for a while, but when trouble comes, they give up. The seed that fell among the thorny weeds is like those who hear God's teaching, but they let the worries, riches, and pleasures of this life keep them from growing and producing good fruit. And then the seed that fell on the good ground is like those who hear God's teaching with good, honest hearts and obey it patiently and patiently produce good fruit. So this is what Jesus is telling them. He's telling a story about this farmer and these four different kinds of seed, representing four different kinds of people, four different situations in life. And the first group is these people who hear about God, but there's some kind of evil or something that has a stronghold in their life, and so they struggle to break free from it, and they never really get a chance to change. And they're like seeds that are thrown alongside of the road that get trampled on or picked up by birds and carried away. And then there's the people who believe in God. They say, I believe in God, but they don't do anything to grow. And they're kind of like those seeds that are thrown along by the rocks, and they don't ever get any roots down into the ground. And then there's the people who allow life to just kind of get in the way, and they're overtaken by all of the challenges and the hardships in life and just the situations, and they allow themselves to be overtaken by things around them like weeds. And then there are the people who allow God to shape their hearts so that they can change and become what He designed them to be. Now, I'm not going to go into a great deal of depth about each of these seeds or each of these groups of people. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to sum up what Jesus wants each of us to do after hearing this. Because if we do this, it has the power to change how you look at others. You guys ready for this? We sum this all up by saying that Jesus wants us to clear the way. And I know that sounds super simplistic, but here it is. That's it. Jesus wants us to take those seeds that have fallen in less desirable places and make a path for them to grow. We don't have to create the rain. We don't have to create the sunshine. That's all up to God. He's the one that controls all of that. He wants us to help those seeds, those people who are in places where they can't grow. People who have made bad choices. People who have gotten off the track. People who have found themselves in the wrong place at the right time. And He wants us to clear the way back to Him. That He's the only one that can change anything. And He is the one who can change everything. God's not asking us to change anyone. He wants us to be ditch diggers and rock pickers and weed pullers. We need to clear the way. We need to dig a ditch so that those who have fallen alongside of the road on the hard ground have some soft soil to get into to grow. We need to pick rocks so that those who are trying but just can't seem to get any deeper have the opportunity to grow. We need to pull weeds that have grown up around and are starting to choke things out so that people can get beyond that and can have life and continue to grow. We need to get in there and do something. We need to affect our surroundings and stir up some dirt. Get our hands dirty, because that's the only way we're going to make an impact. We won't stand by and watch other people get trampled on or die of thirst. We're not going to hang out and watch people get strangled by the world. We need to clear the way to Jesus. And it doesn't matter what kind of seed it is, okay? It doesn't matter how much water or sun it needs or how long it's going to take to grow. We're going to believe in the potential of every single person, of every single one of those seeds that walks in these doors or that we come into contact with, because we believe that we can change the world by believing anyone in any circumstance can change. And this church will always hold to that value tightly. No matter how bad a person has been or is right now, no matter how bad your situation or a situation seems, how hopeless it might look, we believe in a God who can do anything and that there is nothing that he can't do. Absolutely nothing. He can take the worst people and change their heart in such a way that they can be used for amazing things. And I want to tell you guys that that's not just something that I learned going to school. That's not just something that I learned studying. It's something that I have experienced. It's something that I have lived. My wife, Amy, that you met a little bit earlier this morning, her and I met a long time ago, 1993. And we got married in 1995. And it was a few years after that that we decided one day, we had a few kids, and we thought we better get them some churching. You got kids, you better bring them to church. That would be good for them. We didn't need that. And so we decided one day that we were going to go to church. And we were actually a little concerned when we walked in that the walls might fall in or that there might be a lightning strike. There wasn't. I know it's kind of amazing. But I will never forget that day as long as I live, because we walked into a foreign place, a place that did things and talked about things that we weren't at all used to. It was a church that was not like this one. It was very traditional. And I didn't know a lot about traditional church other than I'd spent some time in a Catholic church as a child and, you know, for many years, maybe a funeral or a wedding or something that I had gone to church for, but I didn't have church history. And so the only church history I had was, you know, big brick walls and stained glass and, And not that there's some amazing music, and there's all, I'm not hacking on tradition, okay? I want you guys to know that tradition is an amazing thing, but it wasn't for me at the time. And so my wife and I, we go to this church, and it's not traditional. And so that kind of let our guard down. We paid attention. And on the way out, we were kind of excited that we had spent the morning there, but we were trying to get out without anybody seeing us. I don't know if any of you ever experienced that. Don't talk to me. On the way out the door, the pastor's wife is standing right there at the door. And, you know, I'm big enough that I can't get by without making kind of a scene. And Amy's trying to hide behind me, but it didn't work. She grabbed us and said, "Hey, hi, how you doing? I'm Lori. You maybe met my husband Jonathan earlier. He was the pastor." And we said, "Yeah, we saw him." And she said, "Would you guys like to stay? We've got a Sunday school thing going on." And we're like, "Sunday school? What's that?" "I don't want nothing to do with Sunday school." Anyway, the neat thing was what they did in their Sunday school thing is a lot of what we do in life groups throughout the week, where we just learned more about what we had talked about that morning. They had spotted us, and they had recognized that we weren't like the other people that were there at church. We kind of stood out like a sore thumb. And so they thought, you know, if these people are ever going to come back, somebody better talk to them, and it might as well be us. And so it was, and over time, a friendship grew between us. They listened to us. They talked to us. They met with us. I'm sure they laughed at us and about us when they walked away from us sometimes and just shook their heads and went, "Oh my gosh, What have we gotten ourselves into? But the interesting thing was they created a path for us. They created a path for us to grow. And we began to change. And one day, God called them to another ministry in another state, and they left the church. And as I was talking with Jonathan about the fact that they were leaving, and I was very unhappy with that, and I wasn't real excited about having to break in a new pastor, he looked at me and he said, "Ah, don't worry, Pastor Mike, it'll all be okay." And I said, "What?" And he said, "I said, don't worry, Pastor Mike, it'll all be okay." And I said, "I want you to know this right here, right now, there is no way that I am ever going to be a pastor. In fact, I can tell you that I will never be a pastor." Well, let me remind you guys, never say never. Yeah, God's got a crazy sense of humor. Anyway, so I thought that this guy was absolutely out of his mind, that there was no way. But here's the interesting thing. He was looking at me and seeing something that I didn't see in myself. He saw the fact that I could change, that there was an amazing God who could take a guy like me and change me. And not only that, his wife poured time into my wife and looked at her and saw her as a woman who could change. And she taught my wife to be a woman who believed in change in her husband, because I was not a great husband. I was not a great father. I was pretty much not a great guy. But they knew the power of a God who could change anything. And as time went on, and that change began to occur, and we began to grow as followers of Jesus and began to get excited about what he was doing in our lives and how he was changing things around us, we stayed in touch with Jonathan and Lori and would tell them about what was going on in our life and how that was going. And one day I came home, and God had been working on me for months. And I knew that something needed to change in my life and something needed to be different. And I had a revelation, and I came home and I said, "Honey, you are not going to believe this, but I think that God wants me to go to college for ministry." And she looked at me and she started crying. And I'm thinking, is it really that bad? And she said, "You're all signed up. You've got to fill out your financial aid form and your statement of faith, and it's got to be turned in by tomorrow." And I jumped back and I said, "What?" She said, "I signed you up." I said, "You went through the entire application to get me into college without me knowing about it? What were you thinking? I mean, who gave you permission to do that? That's just not okay." And I'm angry for a minute. Until I back away and see that there's something really amazing going on. 3 weeks earlier, we had been out to Michigan to visit our friends, Jonathan and Lori. While we were there, my wife had him signing my pastoral reference to get into Bible college. Everybody in the place knew I was going to school but me. I had never said a word about it to anybody because it was the furthest thing from my mind. I had owned or operated somebody else's business for my entire life. I had no desire to go to school. I had no time for further education. There was no need for it in life. And suddenly I've got God pressing this on me saying, "You need to do this. You need to do this." And it was all because a man and a woman thought that there was something more for a young couple who had walked in their doors. That they believed that anything was possible, that change could come. And so I want to sit here this morning and look at each and every one of you and say that if we are going to impact this world, our marriages, our relationships, our families, our friendships, that we need to be a church full of people who can see beyond what a person is right now today, what they're acting like or what they're doing. We need to look at each and every person and believe that we serve an amazing God who can change anyone in any circumstance. And what if we were radioactive with that belief, that we believe that any circumstance could change? What if we believe the best in everyone? Because we believe in the one who created each of us to be our best. What would happen if that began to spread? How could that change everything around us? How could that change the entire world? Guys, you are part of a church that believes the best in people because we believe in a God that created people with a purpose, on purpose, for a purpose. Jesus didn't pay the price for our mess ups, for our sin in life, so that we could go on and do nothing with it. He brought us back together as one with God so that we could become more, so that we could do more. And just because you're sitting next to somebody or you know somebody in your life who isn't living their purpose right now doesn't mean that they don't have one. What if the only thing keeping a person from becoming what God wants them to be is someone willing to accept them where they're at? What if the only thing keeping a person coming from what God wants them to be is someone willing to love them and expect nothing in return? What if the only thing keeping a person from becoming what God wants them to be is someone willing to show them grace by giving something to them that they don't deserve? What if the only thing that's keeping a person from becoming what God wants them to be is someone willing to forgive them? What if the only thing keeping a person from becoming what God wants them to be is someone willing to believe in them when they don't believe in themselves? What if you're that person? What if you're that person that needs to be willing? What if you're the one who needs to be willing to believe? What if you're the one who could change everything for that person who is struggling, who is hurting, who is searching, who is denying, who's running? God wants to use each and every one of you to change the world. And he will do it one broken, messed up person at a time. You don't have to read the Bible from cover to cover or have memorized a certain number of verses or know all the books of the Bible in order for God to use you. Okay? You don't need to have been a Christian for a certain number of years or have a degree in theology for God to use you. What you need to do is you need to be willing. God will use whoever is willing to impact the world. You live in your life and thinking, man, does my life have any purpose? Is there any reason for any of this? You better bet your behind there is. There's a purpose for all of this. All you need to do is be willing. We as a church will let anyone through these doors, and I do mean anyone, and it doesn't matter what shape, what size, what color, what sex, what language, what culture, what belief, what age, what preference, what status, what faith, because we know that God can change anyone in any circumstance. And if you don't like that or you refuse to believe that, then you got to come see me after church and I got to help you find another church. There's a lot of great churches in town and I would love for you to be a part of them. But if you can't be down with that, then you're working against what God is doing here. It's not our job to shame people into believing or guilt them or shove Jesus down anybody's throat. You see, it's our job to clear the way, to make a path. We leave any change that's got to occur to him. It doesn't matter how bad things look. It doesn't matter how long they may have been that way. Maybe your life, maybe you are like the seeds that fell on the ground next to the road. And you just need some scratched up ground to get into to start to grow. Maybe you just need a spot where you can stretch out a little bit and start becoming what God has created you to be. And I just want you to know right here, right now, that this is a safe place to do this at your own pace and there is no pressure. Now, maybe you're like the seeds who fell on those rocks. And you know. You believe all of this, but you've never really gotten connected. You've never really had the opportunity to just stretch out and grow. We've got some ways for you to do that. We've got groups that meet during the week called life groups where people just get together and do life together and talk about the pain and the struggle of life and talk about the great things that are going on and talk about, we get to share the good and the bad together. And we get to look and see what it is that God has for us in all of those things. Maybe you like the seeds that fell in the weeds. And you've been letting life take you down. That you've been overtaken by busyness or by hardship in life, and it's got you down, and you've lost your focus. Maybe you need to go back to where you started, and you need to do the things that you once did. Talk to God. Read your Bible. Hang out with some people who are going the same direction as you. God wants each and every single one of us to be like a seed that fell in that fertile ground so that we can become all that He created us to be. So we can grow and spread and impact the world. And the best way we can do that is by living a life that reflects Jesus' life. The one who changed everything for us. The one who made us a new creation and gave us a fresh start. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, "Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun." Jesus accepted people right where they were at. He loved them with a kind of generous love that was not like what was going on. It was abnormal. He showed grace to those who didn't deserve it. He forgave others willingly. And He believed that anyone in any circumstance could change because nothing is impossible for God. Now, I know that there are some of you here this morning that are here because somebody brought you here. You just came to check this out and you're not really sure about this whole Jesus thing. And we want you to know that that's okay. We're happy you're here. And this is a safe place to ask questions. It's okay to doubt. It's okay to not be sure. It's okay to not have all of the answers. We're happy that you're here. And we want you to keep hanging out with us and just know that there's no pressure. Now, some of you are here this morning and you have spent your lives feeling like you're chasing your tail. That you have gone round and round and round again. And you just can't seem to do it on your own. You can't seem to ever get things to work out right for you. Your life just kind of seems to be a mess. And you keep trying to do more and be better and have more and get more. And you're hoping that someday, if only, man, if I just hit that lottery, I'll be happy. Man, if I just have a better relationship, I'll be happy. If I just had that new car, if I just had a new job, if I just had that special something or someone, then I'd finally be happy. But every time you get that new special something, you find that that's not it. It's not it. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Now, some of you are here and you say, you know what, I know Jesus. I've been forgiven by Him, and my life is not reflecting what He would want. And in a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray with me and to talk with God about that. Now, some of you have never received that forgiveness. Some of you have never gotten beyond yourselves. You're still trying to do everything on your own. And for some of you, today is the day where you need to say, you know what? I can't do this by myself. And I need that grace and forgiveness. I need a fresh start. And so I just like everybody in the room to bow your heads. And I want you to pray with me. If you're a Christ follower and you've come to a point in your life where you feel like, man, I'm embarrassed for how I've been living. And maybe nobody even knows about things that are going on in my life, but I know, and I know, God, that you know. I want you to pray with me now and just say, Jesus, I'm sorry. And I know that I'm forgiven, but I want to live like I'm forgiven. Help me make my life count. I'm willing today to be used. Now, if you're sitting here this morning and you have never received that grace and forgiveness, then today is the day that your life will change forever if you will just be willing to accept that nudge. And I want you to pray with me right there in your chair, just quietly. God hears you. And just say, Jesus, I have fallen short of God's perfection, of His perfect standard. I have sinned. I have messed up. And there doesn't seem to be any way that I can do enough or pay enough or be enough to ever make that up. But I believe that your death and resurrection pays the price. for my sin. I don't know how that works, but I believe it to be true. Jesus, I want you to use me and change me from the inside out. Make my life matter. I pray this in your name. Amen. Now, if you prayed for the very first time to be forgiven, there's nothing in a prayer, okay? It says believe and you'll be saved. Believe and you'll be set free. But sometimes it helps to verbalize that a little bit. And if you prayed with me this morning for the very first time and said, Jesus, forgive me, I believe that that is true, that you forgive me, I want to welcome you into the family of God. That is an amazing thing. And you may be sitting here and going, well, okay, now what? First of all, I want you to flip your program over, and on the bottom there, there's a connection card. Check that I made a first-time commitment to Jesus on there. We want to connect with you. Now, the next thing is, on your way out of here, stop by the Experience More table downstairs and say, I prayed with Pastor Mike this morning, and we have a gift for you that'll kind of help you with now what. Okay, so I said a prayer, so what? Well, the now what is going to be in that gift. For those of you who consider yourselves Christ followers, I got to ask you this question. Are you clearing a path for other people to find their way to Jesus? Our goal, as those of us who say we believe, is not to isolate ourselves or protect ourselves from those who do or believe differently from us. It's to live alongside of everyone and show the acceptance of Christ in spite of our differences. If we truly believe that Jesus is the change bringer, then we really believe that Jesus is the only one who can change lives. We need to live like that. We need to quit trying to force changes that we think are most important down other people's throats. And we need to allow people to find the one, and I mean Jesus, who will truly change lives. We don't exist to live in a Christian bubble, to gather around in a little holy huddle and hold hands and sing kumbaya. Okay? That's not what we exist for. We are supposed to change the world, and we're supposed to do that by reflecting the love of Jesus to everyone in our path. And just like radioactivity spreads to everything around it, God wants us to spread our influence into our surroundings just like Jesus did. Clear the path, point people to Jesus. Clear the path, point people to Jesus. Clear the path, point people to Jesus. The next time you start doubting the potential in somebody around you or in a situation that's going on, I want you to think about your pastors. I want you to think of Amy and I and remember their friends, Jonathan and Lori, who believed that they could change, who believed that Amy and I could change. And there were so many impossible things that happened leading us to this point, and I hope that I get the chance to share them all with you because it is pretty unbelievable what God has done to bring us here and to make all of this happen and to bring many of you here. Amy and I are here today at this church, a church that God called us to plant because somebody else believed that there could be change. Now, this church might look different on the outside, but I want you all to be very sure of this, that we hold tightly to the values that were important to Jesus at the very core. That we can change the world by accepting people right where they're at. Not wanting them to stay there, but accepting them. By loving people sacrificially. By choosing grace. By forgiving others. And we can change the world by believing that anyone in any circumstance can change. 100 years from now, it is not going to matter how much was in your bank account. It's not going to matter what kind of kingdom you built while you were here. It won't matter how many cars you owned or what kind of boat or what kind of wheeler or what kind of bike you had. It won't matter how many hobbies you had or how many friends you had or what your social status looked like, who the people were you hung out with. None of that is going to make any difference. It won't matter what kind of degree you had or how many hours a week you work. What's going to matter is how you choose to live out the life that God has set before you. We can change the world forever if we choose to be people who live out the values that are important to Christ. If you're here for the first time, each and every week, we end the talk with a weekly challenge. And I challenge each and every one of us, not just you guys, this is a challenge for me as well. And let me tell you, sometimes it's quite a challenge during the week as I got to come up with these things. I want you all to know that there is nothing that you can do to earn the love and forgiveness of God. That is a free gift that comes through Jesus Christ. As we walk out our challenges each week, it's a way for us to grow in relationship and to become more like Jesus, to become a reflection of Him. So this week, I want to challenge you guys to look around you. Look for a person or a situation that just seems like it or they could never change. And then ask God to change that. Now, it could be something that you're going through or it could be something that somebody else is through, but I want you to do is believe that God can change the impossible person or situation. And then encourage somebody in your life. Be an encouragement. Offer hope in a bad situation or circumstance. Encourage somebody to become more. Let them know that God has great things planned for them. And then finally, I want you guys to think about how this series has impacted your life. And if you missed any of the weeks, please go online, go to our Facebook page or our website and download the talks that you missed. Listen to them all. And then after you've listened to them, take and write them down in a list. Stuff them in your Bible inside the book of Luke and try and think about ways that you can show radioactive acceptance, love, grace, forgiveness, and the belief that anyone can change to the world around you. Make a list. And then pray that God would help you live that out. And finally, invite. Invite, invite, invite. Grab your friends, grab your neighbors, grab people you don't know, and bring them to church with you. Say, hey, come hang out with us. There's no pressure. Nobody's going to force anything on you, and everybody is going to accept you, just like Jesus does. We're starting a new series next week, and it is going to be awesome. It's called Fully Committed, and God willing, Amy and I are going to preach together for the next 5 weeks about relationships and love and marriage and sex. Yep. Yep. You're not going to want to miss that. I'm telling you. Okay, so here's the deal. It is not just for married. It's for singles. It's for everybody. It's if you're in a relationship, if you're not in a relationship, it's about life, okay? I do want you guys to know this, and we say this from time to time, and it's always true, but sometimes we forget to mention that our service here in the auditorium is very much geared for adults. And so over the next 5 weeks especially, if you don't want to have talks with your children that you haven't had yet, you're probably going to want to make sure that they get checked into Kids Church. We love kids, and there are over 100 of them each week that are in our kids area. Yes, those people do a great job with them. And we want our children to be able to learn at a level that makes sense to them. And so they can learn and grow and have a great time. And so that you, as parents, guardians, friends, neighbors, aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, don't have to go, I hadn't planned on having that talk. All right. I started this series with a verse, and we're going to end it with the same verse, and that's Luke chapter 14, starting verse 34, and it says this: salt is good, but if it loses its salty taste, you cannot make it salty again. It's no good for the soil or for manure. It's thrown away. You see, once salt loses its taste, it's just kind of nasty white powder, okay? And it's not a whole lot of good for anything. And in the same way that salt can lose its flavor, we can lose our flavor. We can lose our ability to season the world around us. Jesus wants us to live out our purpose in life. And He wants that to affect the world around us, okay? He doesn't want us to just look like we believe and play the part of a Christian on Sunday morning. He doesn't want us to live lives as lifeless, useless pretenders. Jesus wants us to live up to our full potential because God has amazing plans for each and every one of us and for this church. And He wants every one of us to know that we can change the world and influence our surroundings by living our life following Him, by showing acceptance, grace, love, forgiveness, and believing that anyone can change. We need to be radioactive people so that we can influence our surroundings and impact the world forever. Will you guys pray with me? And Father God, I just want to thank You so much for the grace and love and acceptance and forgiveness and the belief that we can change that comes through the love of Jesus Christ. Help us to be radioactive with those things. Help us to spread that throughout everyone we come into contact with. Help us to affect our marriages, our friendships, our families, our lives at work, the people we know, the people we love, the people who have hurt us, everybody in our surroundings. God, I pray that we would be a church that would show those things to each and every person who comes through these doors, but not just that, that each and every one of us would spill that out onto the people around us as we go through our daily lives. Use us. Help us to say that we are willing to change the world in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.